Hi there, I'm Amy Griffiths and I'm one of the journalists in Manx Radio's newsroom. And a new report assessing the types of homes needed on the Isle of Man can't just sit on the shelf. That's the view of the chair of the Housing and Communities Board. The Objective Assessment of Housing Need documents will be used as an evidence base for the island's strategic plan. And MHK David Ashford has been telling me why it's taken so long to publish it.
Well, the delay was, first of all, it had to go through the formal processes. So it needed to be seen by the Housing and Communities Board, which saw it, I think it was a couple of months ago. It then had to go to Council of Ministers for them to have a look at it and approve how they wanted to move forward with it, which it did a couple of weeks ago. And then Council of Ministers have agreed to have it laid onto the order paper for the next sitting of Tim Ward in order that we can actually have a debate around the OHAN. And that notes the Council of Ministers will come back with policy proposals in October.
Is it quite frustrating when you have a report sitting here ready to go in your eyes and you're sitting having to wait for it to go through all the rigmarole of the Manx political system?
Well, any process can be frustrating, particularly when you want to move things on. And particularly, as I've said many times, housing has to be the number one priority because housing links to everything else. If government doesn't achieve in the area of housing, then it won't achieve the island plan and it won't achieve the economic plan. They're all interlinked. But there are processes there for a very good reason. Council of Ministers needed to give it due consideration. They've done that now. It's public. We'll be having a discussion in the June Tim Ward. And then, like I say, further policy proposals will be coming forward to the fresh parliamentary year and the October sitting.
So let's just break down some of the things that it does talk about. And you mentioned the island plan, the economic strategy that the government has in place at the moment. It's very sceptical about the government's population targets and whether or not we're going to actually meet those targets. Did that come as a surprise, do you think?
Well, no. I mean, I've played it out in Timor before. When the island plan was discussed, I had a question to the chief minister that I think said if we carried on the way we were going to reach the population target and the economic target, it would take till, I think I calculated it as 2052. But this just reinforces that. And what the OHAN actually says is it provides different scenarios. So it's not saying government won't meet its target. What the OHAN is saying is if things don't change, so if we have a complete no change scenario, then this is where we'll end up. And the no change scenario, which isn't a surprise, says that they won't meet the targets. But if we do start encouraging people in, if we do actually start expanding the economy, then it actually provides different scenarios showing how the population growth would work and the impact on housing on the island, and crucially the mix of housing that would be required in order to actually cope with that growth, because that's very important. It's not just about the high level housing, it's about what type of housing do we need and in what quantities, and that's what the OHAN does. So the OHAN looks at a complete mix of scenarios all the way through to 2041.
And it does raise a number of issues within it. So, for example, it says the proportion of private renters has increased by 5% in the last two decades. So that's now 20% of people living on the island are private renters. So do you think that the market has changed in that time to reflect this from your experience and your position at the moment?
Well, one of the things I'm experiencing at the moment, particularly with constituents, is that there's a shortage of private rental. The constituents are finding it very difficult to actually find the private rental properties that they actually need and require for their family size. And it is important that we do recognise that private rental plays an important mix within the housing sector. That always tends to get forgotten about, because there will always be those that, for various reasons, either they can't afford to buy their own house, or indeed the fact they don't wish to buy their own house will require some form of private rental. And it's important that we get the mix right. It's very easy when we talk about housing just to focus in on things like first-time buyers. But we have to remember there's other things out there. There's last-time housing for people wanting to downsize. There's public sector housing. There's, you know, the private rental. There's, of course, the first-time buyers. And there's accessible housing as well. So there's a whole mix of things that need to be considered when we talk about housing.
If we're talking about buying a house, the report says that at the moment on the Isle of Man, the average house price is nearly 10 times the average salary. How is anybody meant to be able to get on the property ladder with those kind of numbers?
So in terms of that, that hasn't changed much over the years. If you go back over the years, there's actually the average annual house price and housing affordability. So for instance, the housing affordability, if you go back 10 years ago to 2014, was 11.36 times annual salary. So, you know, if you looked at it in terms of 20, for those aged 25 and under, and for those who were actually over the age of 25, it was nearly nine times salary. So it hasn't actually moved. But what is important is we do focus on that affordability aspect, because at the moment it is a struggle for a lot of people. So one of the things that's underway is a review of the first time buyers scheme. We need to be looking, as which we will from this OHAN, at all the types of schemes to encourage people, because it's not a one size fits all. It's important we have different types of schemes available for people to try. But affordability ratios have remained around about the 8, 9, 10 times salary for approximately the last 20 odd years.
Well, you talk of affordability, but one thing I wanted to query within this report was that it says that the median salary of somebody on the Isle of Man is £2,670 a month. And I actually think there would be quite a lot of people that would laugh at that figure being the median salary, because that doesn't sound normal to many people living here on the island. So where has that calculation come from? And is it before or after tax? Because, yeah, as I say, to a lot of people, that would seem quite far out of their reach.
So it's always before tax that salary is calculated. Median salary is actually the most accurate. Now, if we were talking average salary, then that can be skewed, because the way averages work, of course, is you add everyone's earnings all up together and then you divide by the number of people. That means that if you did it that way, you would actually end up, obviously, with those who earn a high amount skewing the figures lower down. Median salary actually lays out in a line the individual earnings of people and takes the middle point, and that is the median salary. So median salary has been a very accurate measure over the last few years. But of course, like I say, that is before tax. Tax comes out after that. People have day-to-day bills as well that they have to pay. And particularly when we're in a cost of living crisis, as we've been over the last couple of years, that soon actually depletes what people have available to them. So like I say, housing needs to recognise that, and we need to see what we can do to actually try and encourage people into the island. I spoke at length when the budget was moved this year about my concerns about the direction of travel economically. And I think government does need to now be trying to tie everything together, the economic strategy, the island plan and the OHAN, into how we actually encourage people to not just come to the island, but stay on the island as well, because it is a struggle for a lot of working families.
Now, the government's main focus on housing so far in this administration has been on building new homes, developing brownfield sites, etc. But one thing that caught my eye in this report is actually the percentage of vacant properties on the island. And while it does caveat that there's a number of reasons for this, including things like holiday homes and second homes, here, 13.3% of homes on the island are vacant. The average rate in England is 6%. So why is that so high here, and how big a problem does that present?
So a lot of it can be down to what you actually term as vacant, because there are various different definitions of vacant. So, for instance, if you can have a property that is still owned, still occupied, but only occupied for a portion of the year. So you can have things like holiday homes, or you can have people who travel quite a lot, which means that their house will be vacant, but it doesn't mean that the house is completely abandoned. So you've got to be very careful when we talk about definitions and what the percentages add up to. But the important thing is there is an element of housing there that needs to actually be dealt with. And there is currently a piece of work going on around how we both incentivise vacant properties to be turned around and actually brought back into the market, and also how we disincentivise people from actually leaving properties empty in the first place. So that is due to go out to consultation, looking for views from people and looking to see what people think about the proposals. And that is all being formulated at the moment.
Now, if we move on to social housing, because that's also discussed in the report. So it says that almost 1,000 additional public sector rented dwellings are needed to meet the baseline need over the 2021 to 2041 period. And this isn't a problem that's new. So has there been enough done to tackle this problem in the past? And what can we do about it now to try and address this?
Well, I'll be bluntly honest, I don't think there has been enough done to tackle it in the past. It's something I've been raising as an MHK in Tynwald for quite a number of years now, that the number of social housing units has remained pretty much static. Yes, there's been some redevelopments over the years and redevelopment of existing housing, but in terms of the actual physical number of social housing stock available, the public sector housing stock, it's actually been fairly low. There's been very, very little growth. So one of the things that I think does need to happen now is that needs to be one of the priorities of government, because that is entirely within government's control. Government can actually, if they want to, invest and commit to actually increasing the public sector housing stock, because it is something within government's remit, whereas a lot of the other pieces of work in the OHAM will require buy-in from the private sector and developers. That is something that is in government's gift, and we need to get on and do it.
Having these statistics is all well and good, but is this going to be just another report that the government's paid for, which doesn't actually see any action from it? Are you optimistic that anything is actually going to happen about this and happen soon?
Well, being quite frank, it has to happen. The OHAM can't be another report that sits on the shelf, because basically, like I say, all of government's strategy around the Ireland plan, all of government's economic strategy is reliant on both growing the population and increasing the economically active population. And you will not do that unless the housing mix is right. So the OHAM isn't something that can just say, right, we've got the report, job done. It needs to be cracked on with, and it needs to be starting now.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Little Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you. Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.